from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
More United conversation coming up on a Championship Monday. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Let's get to an NFL Blitz, guys. And speaking of Kia dealers, Jim Ellis, Kia of Kennesaw, brings you the NFL Blitz. Let's start, Mike, with the crazy play that everybody's talking about. You see it once in a while. It happens in football. You normally don't see it in the NFL, though, right? You see it in the collegiate ranks where somebody tries the lateral, and if you missed it, the Dolphins are playing the Patriots. Dolphins are down, guys. Patriots had put Rob Gronkowski in to basically knock down, you know, the deflect the ball, knock it down.
On a Hail Mary attempt from Tannehill, which is going to probably not even be have the arm to get there. They go for the hook and lateral. But, of course, by now you've seen the highlights. It works. And then Gronk is just kind of just – he looked like – I don't know, he looked like a T-Rex out there trying to catch him.
It's one thing to knock the ball down. It's another now I have to play defensive
back.
And actually try to make a play.
He's out of his element.
I want you to hear both calls, all right? The Patriots call and the Dolphins call.
At the 15-yard line, Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40, doing it, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
This is inexplicable. I mean, he had two guys outside bracketed him at the 10. You had Gronkowski deep. He almost blows his knee out trying to get to the sideline.
And the Dolphins have won it over the Pats, 34-33.
Oh, that's gold, man, from the Dolphins and Patriots radio networks there. That's just gold, man. I mean, all from Patriots. That's all New England. Well, that was very excitable then from a Patriots
well,
guy.
Well, all I heard when the guy goes, oh, Jesus. You knew that they were about to score. And I'm flipping through yesterday. It was a miserable day, obviously, outside. I'm just, you know, chilling at the house like most of you guys. And as I'm flipping back, I see the highlights on the red zone. I'm like, what? And I couldn't believe it because I was – you just don't see these things. Here is the other side of this.
Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it, and it's Drake. Drake, 30, 20. Gronkowski's got a tackle.
Oh,
that reminds me, that takes me back to the old days of Jim Mandich, who used to step all over Bill Zimmer with his call slide. Nothing like that. But boy, oh boy. Just bananas. And Tom Brady goes to 7-10 against the Dolphins, which is insane because they're never that good. You know, every once in a while they sniff the playoffs like this year. Now they're on the precipice of the wild card. But how about that? And is this the kind of thing that can turn things around for Adam Gase and a team which has really lost its way numerous times in the last 2 or 3 years?
Very emotional win. You never know what the catapult is, the moment that catapults your season. For the Cowboys, for example, was the Eagles a few weeks back. They're on a roll. They win. But before we get to that, here's Tom Brady.
They made a good play. I think we all have plays in our offense for kind of those desperation plays. And I thought, you know, they did a good job executing it. So they got it to their fast guys. And, you know, football's a crazy game. It shouldn't have come down to that. I think we left a lot more points on the board offensively. And, you know, that's football.
It is amazing, though, how one team just has his number in a division, let's be honest, Carl, which is so easily winnable for the Patriots every year. But isn't that fun to catch how the despair and the kind of, oh, yeah, they're going to try the lateral from the Dolphins play-by-play? The Patriots actually sounded more excited from the jump.
Well, you get the sense, like most people, this ain't going to work.
Right. Yeah, we've seen this nonsense before.
The game is almost over. Here they are. Two wide receivers out left. I mean, he's just – and then all of a sudden they go from that to pandemonium.
Hey, what did you think last night? I thought it was going to be a real fun game. Southern California team, high-flying offense, goes to Chicago. And both quarterbacks are absolute garbage. 7 interceptions, right, between Trubisky and Jared Goff. Goff, and talk about taking away Todd Gurley. Bears continue to do that. They might be able to, you know, have a few home games themselves in the playoffs. The Saints now, Carl. By virtue of the Rams losing to the Bears.
Best record.
Yep. It goes back through the Superdome if the NFC Championship was played today.
Don't like it. We know how difficult it is to win at the Superdome. But give the Saints credit, man. They've done everything they've needed to do.
Ugly game against the Bucs, but they ground it out.
It really was. It was raining, nasty environment for them. And they were not leading that game, by the way. If you didn't get a chance to watch that one, but they found a way to win. Here's the deal with the Bears, and I said this. A lot of people are sleeping on the Bears. Defense still travels, guys. In the NFL, if you can play defense like this, limit the run game. They went up against Todd Gurley, who's, you know, again, an MVP candidate. And, Mike, they basically limited him to nothing and put the onus on Goff to win the game. And then he throws all these picks.
Yeah, he had a terrible day. And, you know, Cooper Kupp, people don't realize what that means because they're thin. Last night, Chris Collinsworth brought up, you know, we've been nailed by the injury bug. The Rams are very slowly. They got no depth at offensive line now, no depth at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So, and they got no depth at running back. So let's see how McVay can handle that situation. Meanwhile, Trubisky, he wasn't good either, but the Bears run for 200 yards. And as you said, the Rams keep really next to nothing, under 50.
Here's Sean McVay, the Rams coach, talking about not doing his job.
A lot more times than not, you know, they've made me right on some bad play calls earlier this year where they end up making great plays. But this was a good defense. They did an outstanding job. You can see why they are one of the best, if not the best defense in the league. And really, it's going to be something until you go back and look at it. It's really tough to say. But I know this. When I'm looking at it in terms of some of the intent, what we were trying to get done on a lot of things, I know this. I know I did not put our guys in good spots. And that's something that I have to be better for within the framework of my role and what I can control.
All right. Listen, Rams still in it, but to Mike's point, the depth may play an issue moving forward.
It is our NFL Blitz brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. The Steelers, what do you make of the Steelers? No John Collins, James Connor, I should say.
Yeah.
Or have a Tom Collins while you're enjoying this. But, yeah, no James Connor, and they're held to 40 yards rushing. The Raiders beat them. Reggie McKenzie, by the way, out the door. Everyone knew sooner or later this was going to go down, that Gruden would have unlimited power.
Unlimited power!
Good luck trying to find your next Khalil Mack.
Think about this, though. He's come in. He got rid of Khalil Mack. Max Plum, he's balling for the Bears. Right. He moved on from Amari Cooper. Cooper is balling for the Cowboys.
He just won the Cowboys that game, if you didn't see it. And by the way, terrible officiating. Roger Goodell, and that was one of the better crews by NFL standards. If you didn't see it, so many blown calls in that game. It's got people like us saying, and other and guys a little bit higher on the radio and TV food chain, saying it might be time for the NFL to reevaluate how the refs are hired.
Jason Garrett was aggressive in overtime, and it won the football game. Now, some luck played into it. But you have to be aggressive in overtime. Amari Cooper, guys, an amazing game yesterday. More on that coming up, but a lot of people wondered if giving up a first-round pick was worth it. It's been worth it. Hey, when we come back, guys, we are awaiting Coach Quinn. Live press conference from Flowery Branch. What's going on with our Falcons? That's next.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience.
It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to hear from Coach Quinn. His live presser from Flowery Branch following up the Falcons' loss to the Packers yesterday. And, you know, we've found many ways to lose this season. Yesterday we come out at 7-0, and all of a sudden, you know, we get destroyed. And it was basically 17 unanswered. Obviously, you go to halftime, you're like, okay, it's still a game. We got to come out and make some plays. Green Bay gets the ball back. And Mike, the penalties and the silly mistakes, and I'll just say it, stupid mistakes really hurt us yesterday.
Yeah, we've found different ways to lose. There's games where the defense was young and inexperienced because the starters went out, and then they got better. And then, unfortunately, the offense cocked out. You know, we have had no run game. This is one game where we actually got some run game, although the numbers are a bit deceiving because, unfortunately, obviously, once you play in catch-up, you won't be able to run the ball effectively. You got to throw it. Matt didn't have a great day. You could argue that Austin Hooper didn't square his route properly, but Matt still makes a throw that's a bit behind no matter where he's turning. So it's just, yeah, when Matt's not on his game, you got no shot. And then later on, we throw in a Pro Bowl mistake from a Pro Bowler. That's kind of inexcusable and how that goes down. You know, we'll talk more about it throughout the afternoon. Curious to hear how frustrated Dan Quinn is. By the way, and I was as a Falcon fan expressing my frustration on Twitter. You know, but Arthur, I don't think is going to move on from anybody who's a big dog on this team. There might be some guys that are sacrificing the coaching staff in the offseason as assistants, but we'll see where it goes. But a season like this, you saw Ron Rivera fire assistants. They've lost a bunch of games. Ron's probably coaching for his career right now in Carolina. I don't think Quinn's going to be there this year. I know Falcon fans, there's a lot of them out there that would like to see a change in regime, but I don't believe that's going to be in the offing. Do you?
I think you really have to look at, do you believe in the culture of your football team and what's happening? If you're Arthur Blank, and by the way, congratulations, Arthur. If you're Arthur Blank, are you looking at this from the standpoint of, well, without the injuries, we are a 9-win football team? And maybe with some luck, we're an 11-win football team. Or are you looking at this from the standpoint where I am right now, Mike, which is, what are we doing? When you start talking about penalties, mistakes, turnovers, and that's your identity, somebody's to blame. And when I hear our head coach say what he said yesterday. Our style is clearly not carrying over into game day. Then fix it.
I mean, then find a better style.
Because you know that old adage? You play like you practice?
Right.
Is this how we're practicing? Because this has been the norm now for some time. So I'm not telling you, no, don't get me twisted. I'm not telling you somebody's going to get fired. What I am saying is that as the owner of our football team, you got to really look at it and say, do I believe in the culture of where our team is? And, guys, I'll bring it back to Atlanta United. We're talking about a championship Monday today. The culture of Atlanta United starts with Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra, Mike, and the style of play and the players we've gone out and acquired, and then that's translated to the field of play, the pitch. That's not happening with our Falcons.
No. I mean, look, guys, there have been coaching mistakes, tactical errors that cost you games like the Dallas Cowboy game. I don't know if we could maybe snuff out 5 wins to get us into the wild card mix right now, but I still think there were games that were very winnable. You needed Trufant to make a play against the Bengals. We've already talked about how you gacked it against the Saints. Defense did its job against New Orleans for 3 quarters, and you fumbled it 3 times inside the red zone. So there's enough blame to go around. We're squandering our star talent. Injuries happen every year. Are you built to weather the injuries? Did you not have the wherewithal? That's a question I guess we're going to have to wait till the end of the season, Carl. Was it salary cap considerations, or you really did truly believe that you had the talent in that building to be next man up? Because next man up couldn't get the job done. We're seeing it.
No, he cannot.
Especially on offensive line.
Does it concern you that we are 15-16 since we blew the Super Bowl? That's our record. Does that concern you? Those are the things you have to look at, Mike. It's not just about, to me, one game. It's, all right, where are we right now as an organization and where are we going? And can we get to where we want to be? We're 15-16 since we blew the lead in the Super Bowl.
I was going round and round with some fans out there who says, get off Dan Quinn's back. Guys, we didn't win the Super Bowl at 16. We had the most humiliating collapse in the NFL Super Bowl history. Okay, so I don't know how much goodwill that buys you. Wouldn't buy me much if I was the owner. You know, I mean, we've had 1 trip to the Super Bowl, 2 trips to the NFC Championship in 11 seasons under this general manager and personnel department. That's like arguing with Georgia fans about, oh, you can't move on from Mark Richt. You know, so, I mean, there's other coaches out there. Again, I don't think, I'm just telling you what I do. They're not going to do anything. But it's just frustrating because it does really get you aggravated as a fan when it looks like the message is falling on deaf ears in that locker room.
The one guy I do think that fans are frustrated with is Steve Sarkisian. And it might be time, Mike Bell, to go ahead and pull the plug on Sark.
So he's going to be the sacrificial. So, no, Matt's. Oh, here. No, run with me on this. So, we're going to have Matt Ryan work with another offensive coordinator because we always know how well that works the first year.
Where is this explosive offense we were supposed to have? Where has it disappeared to? If this is unfair, you tell me. It's not.
I'd call Dirk Cutter when he gets fired in Tampa Bay and bring him back.
Would you stop it?
I would.
Sark, it may be time.
Oh, you're going after. Here's the thing. That's like kicking a man while he's down, and not just down in the. You know what? You're going. What's his name? Kareem Hunt on this guy.
We were averaging.
That's a woman in a hallway in the fetal position, you bully.
28 a game. Bo Morgan, we're down to what? 17, 19 points a game? Why? And you're going to tell me.
Well, they can't block.
Well, then what the hell was going on the first 8 weeks of the season?
But this goes back to the personnel department. My beef has always been, we start every season, I start, what's the first thing you and I say? I go, offensive line. Is the offensive line up to the task? Fusco was brought in to be better than Schweitzer. He couldn't stay healthy. We're rolling Sombrello out there. We're rolling Zane Beatles out there. I mean, hell, man, we might as well roll you or me out there.
Sark?
Look. All right, when you say Sark went on a 3rd-and-1, we're going to try to run Ito Smith. I mean, look, I get it. There are certain situations out there which drive you crazy. This offensive line is so bad, I'm actually willing to give Sark a pass for once.
Nothing is working, and when nothing is working, it seems like it's all going wrong. Seriously, I bring up Sark because, Mike, if anything's going to change, that'll be the change. I really believe that.
Yeah, but that's window dressing. That's window dressing.
And if you go, well, wait a minute, Deuce, the defense hasn't been all you know, shiny either. Here's the difference. Defense on the field for a significant amount of more snaps because the offense can't get the job done. So if you're going to point fingers and say, well, wait a minute, the defense, Marquand Manuel's not going anywhere because you know what? Half his defense has been injured. So if you want to give anybody a pass, it's Marquand Manuel on top of the fact that the defense is on the field 85% of the game.
Well, you still had Trufant and Alford out there. And again, they rolled Isaiah Oliver out there to give him some reps, and he was no much better. But my problem here is, Carl, you could have survived these defensive injuries because your offense, the year they went to the Super Bowl, dealt with the defense. It was 27th ranked as all those rookies were learning on the job in the first place. Desmond Trufant didn't even play in the playoffs, okay? He was out that year. So injuries happen every year. Injuries, and if Arthur wants to use that as an excuse, and I'm not telling Arthur how to run his business because he don't listen to us anyway. He does listen, but he's going to do what he's going to do. He really likes Thomas Dimitroff. I mean, Thomas, I think, is a guy that's got like 9 lives, and that's cool because he's done a great job with skilled position. But he has not done a job, and I say it every year, so I'll stop saying it as a broken record. We don't get the brick and mortar of the offensive line right. We have not done that in 11 years.
I just have an issue, and you guys know this. I mean, if you don't, whatever. I respect Coach Quinn. I think he's done a really good job while being our head coach. We said it when he got hired. I thought he was the right guy for the job, and he's taken us to a Super Bowl and now numerous playoff appearances. But I can't have my coach saying our style is clearly not carrying over to the game. Something's not clicking. Something's not clicking. And that is that. You can lose games, guys. Sometimes teams are just better than you. Sometimes teams get lucky. Ask the Cowboys yesterday. Sometimes you just fall into a play. Ask the Dolphins. But you can't beat yourself with penalties, mistakes, and stupid turnovers. Those things got to change.
Well, I mean, you got 3 games left in the season. You're more definitely than sure you know what you are, right? This is what we are.
That's what we are. Right now, that's what we are.
And so, I mean, look, we know that Dan is trying to get these guys motivated. These are grown men. These are grown men earning millions of dollars. If you can't get these guys to do their job, I don't know what you do. I really don't. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. I mean, what do you do when you're snapping the ball into the motion, man? What do you do when you're holding on beautiful pass, perfectly thrown to Julio? I mean, how do you do that every week and you're coming up with new and exciting ways to lose and blow games? So it's aggravating as heck. And the worst part of this is the window. This is our window. Every team's got one. This is ours. And we're freaking blowing it.
Dan Quinn coming up, live presser from Flowery Branch. Your thoughts at 404-741-0929 as you can chime in, guys, on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You know, these are the realities. We're not losing because we're not playing hard. Don't get caught up in that crap. We're not losing because these guys are not playing hard, okay? They are. But we're sloppy, and the attention to detail is not there. And that is what's killing us right now and has over these last 4 or 5 weeks, Mike, as we've been on this losing streak.
Well, the next man up ain't good. I mean, let's get down to brass tacks, right? The next man up has not been good enough. And I do think if, you know, you talked about how we should have been okay on offense and the young defense with the injuries, young guys stepping up. There were some trades you could have made. Maybe we could never have made it work under the salary cap. Maybe there was no – where does the stubbornness come from? Does it come from the coach, the GM, or both?
Yeah, but you didn't lose 3 – if these were skill positions, for example, if this was Matt Ryan, Julio, right. All right, and we already lost 3, we're having a totally different conversation on offense.
Right.
That's what you lost on defense. You lost Debo for 9 weeks. Okay, which is your quarterback, and you lost your 2 starting safeties, and one is a Pro Bowler, maybe on his way to being all pro. That is a significant difference in how you look at those situations. When you tell me, all right, yes, they lost both starting guards, which is a big deal. But to Mike's point, that is where the front office comes into play and says, all right, we got to go find the guy that's the right fit. And you know what? We got to do some different things. Here's Dan Quinn yesterday, guys. I don't know how much you watched the game. Maybe you tuned out after the snap. They're playing guys now that maybe we should have had a read on way earlier in the season. Yeah. And why are we blitzing off the corner in week 14?
Thank you. You know, you took the words right out of my mouth. I got to go back and look at my tweets as I was going bananas yesterday. It works. Okay, yes, we also got burned on one where, was it Neesman that was on coverage one-on-one where he didn't look for the ball squid on one of the touchdowns? But, I mean, I'd rather die that way blitzing. Okay, then sitting back, rushing 3, and letting my guys let guys run all around him for scores, okay? This is what drives us crazy. We have had success with pool blitzing. Why aren't we doing more of that?
All right, coming up, Coach Quinn right now live from Flower.
I thought our toughness was right, but our focus is not. The self-inflicted wounds, the penalties, the turnovers, the lack thereof, turnovers. In tough times, you roll up your sleeves, you get to work. It's definitely what I do, but the point I want to get across to you today, and trust me on this, inside the team room, there is no BS. I love them, but it doesn't mean I ever lie to the guys. And nobody is okay with this record. The missed opportunities are there, and you better believe people understand we're all here to win. And positive, talking about me, yes. Pollyanna, no. And so I know some of you may have some questions regarding you know, the program and staff and players. And as we're sitting here at week 15, we have 4 wins. And so you better believe we're evaluating everything and doing anything to get it right. The heart and the hustle is there, but these self-inflicted wounds, too many, too often for us to play like we're capable of playing. And that's not where we've been, but it is where we currently are due to these mistakes. And they have to be corrected, and they will be. Glad to open it up to you guys, starting it off.
Coach Cervello played 71 and Means 27. Are those guys that were getting more action, how did they do for you yesterday?
Yeah, first we'll start on the first one with Sombrilo. So we put him in at right tackle, and I thought overall, not just with Ty, but offensively, more space in the run game, protection was better. And then as it went to Ty, you know, I felt his quickness off the ball. So I thought for him, he had a good performance. There was a sack allowed. You probably saw that on the TE stunt. But past that, I thought Ty had a number of finish points and had a good performance. Means we were planning to get him up earlier after Derek went to IR. But it just so happened who we were playing at quarterback last week. We wanted as much speed and athletes as we could to play some of the option rules. So we waited one more week with Steven. But I thought he was off to a good start, had a TFL, had you know, some ops for himself that we'd seen in practice. And I thought he showed good for himself yesterday.
How did Hill do at fullback? And Oliver, we saw a little bit of him.
Yep, yeah, those are the other two. You're on it. So we tried Hill both at fullback and at halfback. And we thought due to his size, that could be a role that he could have. He's been a good special teams player, you know, when we've had him up. So we thought here might be a chance to try to go special teams player and third halfback and some fullback reps. So that's kind of how we utilized him in the game. And then you're right about Oliver, you know, rotating him in some. We put him outside. We put him inside on the tight end. So we tried to put him, I guess, played somewhere between 20 and 25 plays, I think, was the goal heading in. And maybe it was like 21, 22, something in that space.
When you were looking at film, and when you were watching the game for that matter, what screen did you lack of focus?
I would say probably when I went back through the film, it was the self-inflicted wounds that we had. There's a holding penalty on a long run. There's a foul on a long pass. There's a unsportsmanlike on a run that stopped, you know, at this, you know, for a 1 yard gain. The turnovers, you know, there was a you can call it a sack fumble. Matt, you know, pulled the ball down on one and, you know, came out to back us up. A pick six. So those were the ones that make me think lack of focus, because they're the smallest things, Jeff. So they may not show up in the big one, but when I'm going through all phases of the game, it's the smallest of those things that we're missing. And if it had been just one thing or one person, I certainly would have said, okay, that one is going to change. So that's my main focus right now, to make sure that those of the smallest details we get right. And when we do that, you know, as we're heading into this week in terms of the preparation, obviously we'll be preparing for Arizona, but the focus is going to go squarely on us.
So when you see a string of things like that as a coach,
yep.
As you search for the answer, why does that happen?
Yeah. yeah, if I could tell you the amount of sleep I've on that question alone. So that's what I do. I just try to, you know, figure out, okay, let's go back into to find those whys and keep digging and keep finding the information and the answers. And if it's any of the topics, whether, you know, with the players, with the coaches, how can we do it better? I want their input. And but that's what I hit on the guys hard today.
The most obvious thing would be, oh, this is our record. Oh, we're not going to make the playoffs anyway. Oh, I just want the season to be over.
Oh, like a whoa. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Well, I would say it's not just been, you know, it hasn't been to the level that we need it to for a while, not just maybe in the last few weeks, but to have some of these inconsistencies show up over an extended period of time has been definitely something that's been in the front of my mind.
Coach, when you said you searched for the why is there more space in the run game? What was a factor in that this week?
Well, I thought number one, we had more chances at it, so we stayed more balanced throughout the game. Maybe at halftime it was maybe the same amount of runs and passes. If it wasn't, it was somewhere where I'd like to see that kind of balance. At the end of the game, when our completions and our run games add over 50, that's usually a pretty good day, because you've controlled the ball, you've, you know, established the run, you've had a lot of completions. So that's generally, you know, the kind of balance that I'm looking for. It just seemed that, you know, sometimes the team, the style that they play makes a difference. And they certainly, you know, played some two deep looks where it was more favorable for the runs. But more than anything, I thought we stayed true to it where we could, you know, give ourselves a chance at it. You know, followed up runs with runs, followed up, you know, just chances to go. And we were able to move it some, so that gives you more confidence to call it more.
Coach, I can tell that you were happy with that yesterday. You talked about the run. You liked the improvement that was made. How do you envision the future of your running game? You know, how do you think it's all going to
come? Well, I think it has to be a part of our identity and a big part of that. I think it adds to the overall circle of the toughness of your team, but it also so clearly sets up the line of scrimmage like we'd like for the run game and the play action to, you know, balance off of one another. So our identity is tied into that, and to make sure for us to be able to moving forward how we would like to run it more and with better efficiency, I would say, would be the short-term goal for me.
And I know you talked about this Friday. I wasn't here, but with Devontae, can you tell me, of course, you know, I talked to other players, and they obviously miss what he brings to the game. What element do you miss about him that he brings to the game that you say, hey, you know what, yeah, we could have probably used that part?
I'd say, where would I? A former player had said he, at the end of runs, it was Justin Fournette. Anyway, another player had said, at the end of runs, he lets them know. And I thought that's a clear illustration of Devontae, you know, where he's able to drop a shoulder on a guy to finish a run over his pads and downhill. So I think I love the fact that at the end of runs, he can really get downhill and finish. And over his pads, and, you know, the four-yard run goes for 8 yards. I'd say it's his change of direction when somebody's ready to size him up, thinking they got the hit, foot goes in the ground, and he explodes. And so I'd say those are the things I miss. He brings a lot of energy to the team, for sure.
At all about his long-term health, just because he's dealt with, you know, pains here and there, or you're like, hey, you know what, he's going to get back, he's going to get back to form, and I know you talked about maybe bringing him back.
I think just for us, number one thing is, you know, keep making progress, and when we do that, then we'll cross the bridge of what's next in terms of him playing, but keep making progress first.
One last question. Sure. On that subject, I know that I think it was said at one point that there was a scenario where we can envision maybe Tevin and Devontae being a duo moving forward, mm-hmm. possibility of signing Tevin. Do you still see that? Maybe
I would say for sure everything's on the table. And like I said, when we're in the scenario that we're in, which we're not very pleased at, you evaluate anything and everything. And so, we're certainly going to consider every single option in every way.
Are you learning something about some of the players now that
they am. I said to the guys, we would, Jeff, find out a lot about our locker room because it's in some of these darkest times from a player standpoint we're missing the mark that some leadership qualities emerge. And I have been impressed by this rookie class about, you know, where we can take them. And I think over the next 3 weeks, you know, I'm anxious to see even more of them and what they can be, because it's a pivotal time for them for sure. And they're making progress as we're going, but yeah, I'm learning a lot.
Speaking of the rookie class, Isaiah Oliver, he's kind of had an up and down year. He's got a lot of tools. You drafted him in the second round, obviously.
Yeah.
There's a lot of expectations there. Is he showing you enough to the point where you're excited about where he can be? Or are you concerned about some of the, you know, because maybe in college he played a certain kind of defense,
right,
and he's been put in some different situations now. But are you seeing enough where you're excited about where he's going?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. And he's really a mature guy. I know you guys have spent time with him too. So for him, the work has been mostly at the line of scrimmage, and we just challenge him, stay down. Really, the word at corner, stay down as long as you can. There's certain formations you have to get off. There's certain calls that you do. But now that he is staying at the line of scrimmage and been challenged, it has been excellent for him, you know, to have some of this on-the-job training at corner. And so we'll continue to do that. But, yeah, he's somebody that we definitely are excited about.
Because we talked about some of the special team stuff with that, you know, with the cold and the wind up there on Friday. What went into the decision to kick Matt from 53? Did you guys feel good about what you saw?
I probably went further than I wanted to. So he, you know, from one side it was a little further, from the other side it wasn't quite as much. So If I had one play that I'd like to call again, there's lots that you have as a coach, but that would be one that I'd want to have over. You know, sometimes I trust him so much that, you know, it's kind of like, he'll be okay, you know. But it was really, if there was one that I'd like to have over, that would be that one. So that was my decision. I knew we were a yard or two past where, you know, I kind of had a marker going into that side of the field. But in that moment, Matt, you know, has done that. We've done that with him before, and it's worked out. So,
you know, he's popped up, I guess, with the back and everything. Is he good health-wise at this stage of the season?
Yeah, we're anticipating him back to a normal rotation this week of kicking on Thursday, which has kind of been his normal way to do it. So last week we pushed it back a day, and this week we anticipate going back to the normal rotation and rhythm. But he's a tough guy. So, yeah, he's dealing with, you know, things like, you know, all players are, and especially, you know, as the season gets on. But we're anticipating him back to, you know, his normal allotment and workload on Thursday.
Any update on Hooper?
The decision to keep Giorgio on the roster.
Yep.
As Bryant returned, was it just to make sure that,
yes,
Bryant was back health-wise, or were we looking maybe down the road?
It was really just to make sure Matt's health-wise was going to be okay. And we had thought Giorgio performed well enough that if we didn't do that, then he would be, you know, in another city in another uniform. So we wanted to say, hey, let's treat it for a while like a backup quarterback. And due to Matt's health and not being, you know, as strong as, you know, excuse me, from an injury standpoint, we just felt like from a protection standpoint, that was the best route to go.
Hooper, and then just wanted to move on to the Cardinals, sure. Chandler Jones, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep. So, let's start from the injury side of things. Like I said, we're anticipating Hoop, good news from him, that nothing for him that is long-term. That's what we were feared for, you know, yesterday when you do the evaluation, but you don't know until the next day. So, good news on his front. So, we'll see where we end up for this week on him, but definitely are not ruling him out for the week, but it's not a long-term issue, so we're thrilled about that.
You said you're coming to some conclusions, I guess, in the third and players as you go through the last few weeks. How about staff?
Yeah, same. As we're going through it, you know, from players to staff to everything, we want to make sure we look at the body of work and get clear, concise evaluations on everybody. And like I said, when you're standing where we're at, it's not what you want to do, but that's part of it and what we're looking at for sure. Yes, I think if you're clearly at four wins during this time, then we have, you know, not met expectations.
Is there anybody who is safe?
No, I'm not going to get into who is and who isn't. So I'll just get into that when we look at everything, you know, and we evaluate everything, that that's the most important thing, to make sure we do what's best for the team moving forward.
I'll coach the Cardinals, struggling under Coach Steve, and but they got Chandler Jones and Larry Fitzgerald and breaking in the rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Going through the evaluation process last year, I know you guys covered a number of the quarterbacks as well, but I was very impressed by Rosen. The accuracy, the quickness, the mental quickness of where to go with the ball. I can remember going back through a UCLA-USC game back and forth, you know, because both, you know, quarterbacks in that same game, to see those two against similar players. Both of them had played Stanford, so I remember going back and watching that game. And so I treated both of the quarterbacks against common opponents. And I can clearly remember, and as we're getting into the preparation of this week, but the quickness that the ball came out of his hands with the decisions of where to go with it. And so I think forever, if you're going to talk about the Cardinals, you better start with Larry Fitzgerald and, you know, the career he's had, the impact that he has on their team, on their offense for sure. Johnson has been difficult to guard. I can say that firsthand from, you know, being in that division for some years. So, you know, I know the style that he can play with. And Byron Leftwich has done a good job also. I thought, you know, he's a guy that took over and, you know, is making calls now as the offensive coordinator, and you know, it's been impressive to see some of the things that he's able to do. But like I said, more than anything, we'll obviously prepare hard for Arizona, but a big focus of our attention will be right square back on us and making sure we get our game lined like we'd like to.
One more. You talked about, you know, you're learning more about your team.
Yep.
These past five games and the three games ago. You talk about leadership. Are you seeing the right kind of leader step up in these dark times?
Yeah, I have, and it's definitely what I was looking to see.
Strong teams and defenses.
Yep. I am, and I met with a number of them today, and I said, you know, I felt a number of them step up in a bigger way, and it can get most frustrating when you feel like you're stepping up or doing more and the results aren't met. That's when you can get like, I did more, and it's the outcome didn't go like I wanted. So I challenged them on that front to say, let's make sure we keep bringing the people with us. And yes, you can model it, but you also have to have communication about it so other guys can adapt and do it. Because most of the guys that I would say on this team that have great leadership are also great models of what work ethic and practice habits and standards look like. But they have to take it further and communicate with their teammates what they expect from them. And I've seen more of that. So that's what I was hoping to see. All right, you guys have a good one.
There he is, Coach Dan Quinn up at Flowery Branch. Mike and I will talk about it. He started the press conference by saying, if you missed it, certainly not acceptable. And everyone in that locker room wants to win, and they will not tolerate where they are at. We'll get into it a little bit more here on Dukes and Bell. It is a championship Monday as we celebrate Atlanta United's MLS Cup victory on Saturday night here on Dukes and Bell. It's been an all-day affair. If you had a chance to go down to the parade, I hope you had a great time. It was fun. Certainly watching it, Mike viewing it on TV, listening to it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our midday guys, Rick and John, they did a terrific job. Obviously, Conti and Jason Longshore, part of the broadcast as well. But just a big shout-out to all the 17s and all Atlanta United fans who have been a part of this incredible ride this year. And we are the champions now!
Heck yeah.
Hey, man, let's talk about what Coach Quinn had to say in that presser. A lot of things being covered. And, again, Coach Quinn's coaches show, which we normally do on Mondays, is coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour, West Durham. Dave Archer will sit down with Coach. And then, of course, the player segment today is Foye Aluokun, right, Bo? Foye Aluokun today. But, Mike, did anything jump out? Because I will tell you, the thing that I didn't expect for him to say kind of hit me today. We miss Free. We miss Free a lot more
well,
than
you
I...
and I've said that.
No doubt.
Yeah, we've talked about
but,
that.
But I don't think Coach has admitted it the way he did today with what he brings. And he was basically talking around it. You know, it was almost, well, when he puts his foot in the dirt and he runs through guys, we miss Free. And for everybody who was ready to move on from Free and Coleman this and Ito that, with all due respect, I think you really see how a really good running back makes an average line look so much better.
Right.
And Free did that. But he also talked about the aggressiveness and you know, kind of setting the tone. Physical running backs do that. You got to run the football. And I've said this. The toughest guys on most football teams, if you have a really good, tough football team, Mike, are the guys up front. And that starts in the run game. And we still, I mean, yeah, over 100 yards, whoop-de-doo, we still haven't run the ball like we should.
Yeah, man, the physical nature. And remember, because we did discuss this back when he went out, because had all these guys who are still in their feelings over missed blocks in the Super Bowl, you know, or a missed pass pro in the Eagles game in week one. The guy finishes his runs. Dan Quinn talked about it. I think it was Vaughn McClure from ESPN.com, I believe, who asked that question. You know, Free is a tough runner. You know, and there's times where you're screaming at the TV for Tevin to make that cut, to step up and go. You know, and we like what Ito's doing. But, I mean, truthfully told, even if Free was there, okay, maybe he's falling forward for two more yards because this O-line can't get the job done. Although I did hear from Dan Quinn. He liked what Sombrello was doing. He thought we combined to get over 100 yards this week. He said there was a good performance, better in the run with Sombrello, which makes you wonder what's going on with the guy Ryan Schrader, who you just gave a contract extension to.
It does. We've played basically 6 games with Brandon Fusco and then 6 games without. And if you look at the stats, if you're into that stuff and you start looking at the numbers, the stats kind of basically tell you that, you know, with Fusco, you know, we ran the ball carry-wise more. But without Fusco, we're actually averaging 4.2 yards a carry, which is more than when he was in there. Mike, I do think Andy Levitre, just because he had been here as a part of that Super Bowl offensive line, losing Levitre was a big deal. I don't know if losing Fusco was as big of a deal than losing Levitre simply because of what he meant to this O-line. But with all of that said, you're right. The evaluation up front, you know, is something that's going to have to be looked at here in the offseason.
Right.
And maybe even some shuffling, because you've got some guys under contract, you know. And again, I think Alex Mack is still doing a fairly good job. The problem is the two guys next to him are not, and I think it's bringing him down. I think it's making Mack,
yeah,
you know, kind of look bad in the sense that his numbers, if you average these things out with offensive linemen and where he's at as a center, would probably look better. But, Mike, I think he's trying to take up for the two guys that are next to him.
Look, the offensive line, again, you at sooner or later, guys, and I say it every year. I say it every year. I do. 16, I was just arguing about this. I got an analytics guy who's quoting Pro Football Focus like it's gospel, going round and round about how good we were in 16. Chris Chester did his job. Offensive line stayed healthy.
That
the
was
entire
key.
Season. They played the as a unit. Remember when we first picked up Chris Chester? You and I looked at each other. Oh, boy, another Redskins retread from Shanahan. Well, he did the job. 15, we didn't have a center. We had guys like Mike Person in there. Remember that was what a disaster. Matt couldn't get the snap. We lost six games in a row that year as a byproduct of that.
Correct.
You know, but 1 year out of the last four, we've had a good, solid offensive line. Last year, we had a struggle with Schweitzer, who really wasn't up to the task. That's why we went and got Fusco this year. If they were happy with Schweitzer, you wouldn't have paid the money to bring in another free agent. So I hope this year we knock it out of the park drafting O-line. There's a lot of big O-linemen. There's a lot of big defensive linemen. You know, and I just don't know how we can continue to keep cobbling it together. I use that phrase, Carl, because you can't just keep slapping a journeyman free agent on this offensive line and then another one on the backup side, trading for guys late in the summer like Sombrello, who we saw yesterday, and thinking that's going to work.
Dan Quinn addressed the self-inflicted wounds, as he called them. I'm going to tell you they're penalties, mistakes, and turnovers, which have killed us, which are in self-inflicted wounds that have to stop. And, you know, if you want to talk about whether we would have won the game yesterday or not, I'm not even concerned with that. I told you guys 2 weeks ago, I really wasn't looking at these last 4 weeks as wins and losses. I needed to evaluate guys. I needed to see where guys were. I'm learning.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot of that. And there are some guys that should be here, and there's some guys that probably won't be here if Dan Quinn does his assessments properly. But, Mike, here's the deal. This, to me, is a huge statement about what's going on with our football team. Why do we continue to have these self-inflicted wounds? What is going on there? If we're not as good as some of these teams we're playing, so be it. That's fine. But the problem is these same mistakes happen week after week after week.
Well, you said it to start the show in the 2 o'clock hour. How are we practicing? Right? Good practice habits translate to the game. That's stuff we learned in Pop Warner. So I just don't understand, other than the next man up just ain't that good. You know? The other thing is, in addition to all the injuries, guys that are getting paid a lot of money aren't even playing well. Alford Trufant. I just mentioned Schrader, who just got a contract extension before last year. He's off the field now. You know, Alford has been a guy. And how many times have we seen that? Last few yards, last few seconds of him in coverage, and he just doesn't trust himself, and he starts flailing. I mean, that's a guy that you bankrolled. That's a guy you gave guaranteed money to. Trufant, you traded up for, and then re-up when you and I both said, make him sing for his supper and play out his contract. So these are guys that are big chunks of our salary cap hit moving ahead.
Yeah, there are going to be some major decisions to be made. Again, Dan Quinn don't want to address that now, and nor should he. There's still some football to be played. There's still some things, as he said, that he needs to learn about his football team, and he's finding out in the darkest hour. Because it doesn't get any worse than this. I mean, you're rolling off L's, and your team's not going anywhere, and you've got a lot of good veteran players that are established in this league. You got to find out some things moving forward. He talked about Brian Hill. They tried him at fullback. Can we stop signing fullbacks that we don't use in the offseason? Can we stop this?
It's kind of, before you got here back in the old days, Dan Reeves used to have like 8 tight ends on the roster. We used to joke, we actually had a bit, was Dan Reeves tight end city. So yeah, we have, for some reason, we have an inclination to bring fullbacks in, which either are not used actively or serve no purpose in this team.
All right, you can let us know what you think, guys. Find us on social media, as we've said. The station, 929 The Game, and go to the website to see all the coverage of the parade today. It was great. Obviously, 929 The Game, thoroughly involved in all of Atlanta United activities, and it was a fun time leading up to everybody getting down there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But 929 The Game, like us on Facebook and then on Twitter. Mike Bell ATL, I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was up right where the parade started at Baker Street, where it intersects with Peachtree, and we ran into a bunch of 929 The Game listeners, big soccer fans, and I know we heard from Jason Longshore, Mike Conti, guys coming up to the 929 The Game Urban Assault Vehicle and saying hi and how much they love the passion for soccer. And it just, I'll be honest with you, it's been a hell of a tonic during this Falcon season, too.
It has.
You know, I mean, you go in there, and Craig, we were talking about it on Saturday night, the electric vibe, the energy. And I know we've talked a lot about the PSL argument and how it just, it creates a different dynamic. But when you're in a house that's packed, with the exception of 2,000 Portland fans who got those tickets through MLS, it was another amazing home vibe with a crowd that's just rocking and keeping it going. Everybody stood for 90 minutes.
And I think, real quick, also, I think the weather helped because everybody got to their seats early.
Yeah, I agree.
You weren't out there tailgating so long. You got in early because you didn't want to get rained on.
You know why, Carl? I knew it was a problem with the crowd getting there early. Couldn't get a drink.
Everybody was in line.
It was taking a minute.
Yeah.
And I knew there were some fans that weren't regular season ticket holders. Somebody ordered a white wine spritzer.
You can get white wine spritzer?
Yeah, spritzer. A white wine spritzer.
Spritzer?
Spritzer.
Spritzer?
Spritzer.
I didn't know you could order that.
Well, neither did we. We ridiculed the man that ordered it.
A man? Oh.
Two for him and his lady. This is definitely your first game.
Whatever you're into, my man. Whatever you're into. Hey, coming up, you will hear Coach Quinn with West Durham and Dave Archer, guys. It's the coach's show. And then the player segment today is Foyer Lewakin. We'll come back in the 5 o'clock hour. We will rehash Atlanta United and what an amazing weekend it was. The parade and all that happened today. We are champions in the ATL. It's Dukes and Bell.